Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Sort of started as Bob Dylan. And then I don't know where he went from then, but I enjoyed it. What a bumper episode of Fingers on Buzzers we have today. It's one of my favourite things, which is where we talk to an industry insider.
Ooh.
I'm always fascinated by the people who have originated quizzes, who have worked on quizzes, and our guest today has such a wealth of experience to share with us, and also one of the nicest voices you will ever hear.
Magnificent. Yes, he's... I can't think of many roles on entertainment shows he has not performed behind the scenes. So.
Exactly. He's done variety, brain picking. He's done quiz, he's done game shows, he's done shows that aren't a quiz or a game show.
Mm. Which and shows he's forgotten.
And a lot of shows that he's forgotten because he's done so much. The brilliant Nigel Kroll will be our guest today. So let's welcome Nigel to the show right now.
Do you know what? We always love having industry insiders on this podcast. And I don't think we've ever had someone with the breadth and depth of experience that you do, Nigel. I mean, you've worked on everything.
I have, but a lot of it was back in the day. The quiz shows element was back in the day when I was first starting in telly. And then I moved on to doing some radio quizzes as well. And coming up with the ideas for radio quizzes, which is always better than just getting a fee for writing the questions for them, isn't it? You know,
Both the financial reward and also the intellectual joy of sorting out how a quiz is going to work. Because we have discussed this with various people who've originated quizzes, but you've done it many times. What do you think are the most common mistakes that you make when you're first coming up with a format?
I think the main problem is a quiz doesn't work if it's too complicated. It's got to be quite simple for the audience to understand. They've got to get the idea of what the contestants have to do or the host has to do to drive it on. And I think so long as you've got something which is really, really simple in format style, like Pointless, for example.
Yeah.
it's so simple. That is the one show. Actually, it's not the one show, but it's very much one of the top shows that I wish I'd come up with the idea of.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just come up with the... Well, you've got to really stretch your brain to think, well, what would people not know about a subject? And I think that is always important on a quiz show. But the ones that
you have worked with Richard Osman as well, haven't you?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, Richard, when we co-devised, it was myself, Richard, David Walliams, and Simon Heath, who went on to become the, head honcho, creative honcho of World Pictures, the ones who do Line of Duty, I think, is one of theirs. It's a big drama company. And it was the four of us. Why it needed four to come up with this idea. But we were all put together. So Richard left just when we were doing the pilot. But David and Simon stayed on, and the three of us then used to write it together, but not sitting by one another to write it together. We'd kind of meet up and we'd go in with our contributions in a writer's room type way.
Which show was this, Nigel? Tell us about the show.
It was called the Ant and Dec Show.
Yes.
For BBC. It was the first thing that they did where they were Ant and Dec, not PJ and Duncan. That was good fun to have them there at that very start of their career. I remember Dec, he didn't want to take his hat off. He was always wearing a hat in rehearsal rooms, you know, in office meetings. Yeah, he didn't want to take off the hat at all. But Richard Osman was only there for like the beginning of the gestation period of the show. So we did a pilot, and then the BBC commissioned it. And it did all right, actually. Well, it won a BAFTA for Best Kids Entertainment Series. So that was, we must be doing something right. Yeah. But I remember Richard saying to me, first of all, we had the comparison of heights. I'm quite tall. I'm 6'5". He's, I think, 6'7". Mm-hmm. And David Walliams is quite tall. Simon Heath, what I would say, normal height, you know. I remember Richard saying, oh, no, he said, I'm going on to do another program. And I think that program must have been Deal or No Deal, which again is a quiz / game show where it's very simple. How they managed to spin that out into an hour long format where basically you open 15 boxes.
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible, you know, how they managed to do it. But they did. And
the cult of Noel Edmonds had a lot to do with that, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Well, I used to work with him. That was one of my first jobs, was working as a researcher on the Late Late Breakfast show. And then I also worked on Script Associate on Noel's House Party and a couple of other shows in between. Oh, actually, I did a quiz show with him, which was about television.
Tele addicts.
You know what? I've forgotten that I'd worked on that. I'm getting to that age, Jenny, where I you know, these things kind of fly in and out of my brain, and I can't quite remember having worked on them. And it's always a joy and delight to be told, "Oh yeah, you did work on that. Yeah, you did."
It's a storied career coming back to you.
Oh yeah, exactly.
This is nice. We'll be able to tell you everything you've done, Nigel, and you can just sit and enjoy.
It's like you visited me in an old people's home. You know, what time's the cocoa coming round? Can I have another tart blanket on my knees, please?
Yeah. Do you remember? This will be a do you remember. We were very excited to talk to you about lots of things you've done, but talking telephone numbers.
Right, yeah. Now, okay, fine. But I don't class that as a quiz show.
No.
And I don't class it really as a game show.
Oh.
Controversial, I know.
That is controversial.
I would say that Talking Telephone Numbers was a variety show in the true sense. Because, you know, the format of that was, it was to do with the digits of your own telephone number. So the last five digits. So you would know that you would have a lot of people would have that if they were watching the show. Then that bit was live. Then we pre-recorded bits in the middle, and then the ending was live. You had to get a winner live on the show. So you would have some of the acts on the show. Some of them would be variety performers, you know, throwing knives at things, you know, the old school variety shows. Bradley Walsh came on, I remember. Joe Pasquale came on. Bernie Clifton came on, but he hadn't brought the Comedy Ostrich with him. And
how did you recognise him then?
Well, exactly. He came in and he said, I'm going to do an act where I dress up with an Arabian-style headdress and He said, and I've got a fire extinguisher underneath the smocky type part of the outfit. And he said, and at a certain point, I will fire the fire extinguisher and there'll be a jet of whatever comes out of the fire extinguisher, foamy stuff. So that was slightly weird, I felt.
Race to find that in whatever archive that's in.
Well,
I cannot wait.
Well, it'd be an ITV archive somewhere. It was a fun show to work on, but I wouldn't say it was necessarily, there was no quizzing, apart from the only question I asked of Bernie Clifton was, have you brought the comedy ostrich with you? No. Okay, right. Well, we'll have to go with the fire extinguisher routine then.
Well, it was, I suppose, yeah, it wasn't really a game show. Yeah. I mean, little element of 3-2-1 in the, that, you know, having variety and people winning prizes.
Right.
But
that's
no, you're right. It's certainly not a quiz show. And I think you've talked us round that it's not even really a game show.
Entertainment show with a game aspect.
Yes.
So it still falls under our remit. So I'm still claiming it.
No, that's fine. Absolutely fine.
Very excited to talk about. This is a favourite of ours. We have played the board game of this in the past.
Right.
Every second counts.
Oh. Here's a big confession. I should have told you beforehand. I wrote down that I'd worked on Every Second Counts. I didn't. I worked on Odd One Out. And I mistook it for, I thought, Every Second Counts. So I thought, I'd better go and look online to see what I did. I told you, when you get to my age, your memory fades a bit. So I looked on it. I thought, I never worked on that. Odd One Out was, you had four subjects, and one of them was the Odd One Out. And the contestants had to identify what the Odd One Out was. It was in the early 90s.
And hosted by?
Not a lot.
Yay.
Daniels.
Yes.
That's what I got confused.
Understandably so. But yeah, the great Paul Daniels, who I had forgotten how many game shows Paul Daniels did. There was a period where he was just on everything, wasn't he?
Well, he did a load of series of Every Second Counts. He did about 6 or 7 series of it. I don't think he did that many of Odd One Out. That was the very first show that I wrote quiz questions for. Because at the time I was working at the BBC in London and at Television Centre. And the great thing about that was you could walk around the circular corridors there, and I was in the entertainment department, the variety department it was called in the early 80s. And there you could see the producers, and they'd say, oh, what are you doing then? And I'd say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And they'd say, we need some questions written for insert name of show. In this case, it was Odd One Out. Have you ever written any questions? No, but I'm going to give it a go. So I was young and thrusting then, you know, desperate to get on.
Still thrusting now, Nigel.
Exactly.
Just maybe not as, maybe a little bit more weekly, but there's still.
Exactly.
Were you a keen quizzer before you started writing the questions, or did that spark a love of it?
Yeah, I suppose it did. I mean, yeah, I like quizzes, and I've always liked quizzes, and my wife and I, Monday evening, I said, you know, the triumvirate of quizzes there. Mm. Quiz night on BBC Two.
BBC Mondays, we love them.
Exactly, that's it. Yeah. That's it. So I love all that, and we go through Mastermind, and there's an element of being triumphant with one another. My wife, Mel, she objects when I say, how did you know that? As if she wouldn't know the answer to quite a complicated question on, I don't know, universally challenged, as we call it,
yes,
or part of the Only Connect ones, you know, where you're doing the walls there. You see, I started at the BBC as a contestant researcher on Blankety Blank. Mm-hmm. So I used to find the people for Blankety Blank. I'm telling you this because I've obviously tremendously disappointed you with your board game knowledge of Every Second Counts. Here, I'm trying desperately to make up for it, okay?
You've more than made up for it, Nigel, just by being here. But yeah, Blankety Blank, we love. And Captain Tom was on Blankety Blank in the early days. I don't know if he was one of yours, but
I don't think he was. Was he on? Of course, that's right. He was.
Yeah. It's a particular skill to find a contestant, especially for a show like Blankety Blank, where, you know, you've got to have someone who is outgoing but not isn't going to overwhelm you know, it's the host show and then you've got the celebrity panelists, but you need someone who's, you know, a little bit eccentric.
Yeah.
You do need to be a special type of person, I think, to be a contestant on a quiz show. And it was myself and a guy called Sean Murphy. We were the contestant researchers on the show. I was actually filling in between the series of Wogan, which is what I actually joined the BBC to do. And then they said, oh, there's a couple of months, and then the Late Late Breakfast show will start with Noel Edmonds. So in between, will you be a contestant researcher on Blankety Blank? And I said, well, you know, I wasn't thrilled, because I'd gone from Wogan, where it was celebrities coming through the doors. It was the first series of the Saturday Night Show, to then going to dealing with Jim from, I don't know, Bedford or whatever, who had always wanted to meet Terry Wogan. They all wanted to meet Terry Wogan. I don't think we had an application form on the programme, which didn't say, why do you want to come on? The question was, why do you want to come on Blankety Blank? It would be, the first thing they put would be to meet Terry Wogan with an exclamation mark after it. And we used to stick the, although we had a wall on the in our office in Television Centre with all the, to meet Terry Wogan, to meet Terry Wogan. It was the Wogan wall there.
I bet he loved that.
Oh, well, he would just turn up for the show. He was great. But he would just turn up for the show. So we never saw him in the office. It was, you'd see him about half an hour before the recording, and he'd be the, you know, genial guy that he was. And, you know, he was great fun. But clearly it was, I'll get in there, I'll quaff a glass before I go on air, and then I'll meet the celebrities, and then these people will come on. And for those people, it was the most important day of their lives. Yeah. You know, I know that for them. But there was a kind of switch of personality there. Mm-hmm. Once they got in front of the cameras, I remember one lady saying, could you get me makeup to come here? I'm thinking, okay, right. I just need to get you into the studio, you know, on time and in front of the cameras and sitting down at the desk there. That's all I need to do. I'm not particularly bothered about getting makeup in to coif your hair or whatever. Lucy, you were a researcher, though, weren't you?
I did do a little bit of contestant research, and I similarly really didn't want to do it. What I found was also the sort of pressure from the producers and the executive producers that, you know, you just, whoever you got wasn't good enough. Mm. And yeah, it was a slightly thankless task. You were sort of getting it in the neck from all ends, really.
That's right. Absolutely. And you are kind of lowest of the low in the production pyramid there. Yeah. You're really right at the bottom there. Yeah, it is a bit of a thankless task. But it was a formative part of my career. It gave me a drive and an ambition to get out of contestant research and get into other programmes and that sort of thing, you know.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are so many things that I would like to talk to you about, but on the subject of people that you'd always want to meet, now you've done so many amazing radio shows, and I am an absolute devotee of radio, and I think some of the best quiz shows actually have started on or remained on radio. And Radio Wales really punches above its weight, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. I did a lot of them for Radio Wales, I came up with an idea for a quiz show, which is called A, B or Three, where I would talk to two guests on the show, play maybe an audio clip, and then say, listen to this clip. And then you hear an American air traffic controller who's saying, oh, you're going to have to identify yourself. And I'd say, OK, so was that person, who was he asking to identify themselves? Was it A, an albatross flying past? Was it B, a person sitting in a deck chair with helium balloons attached to the deck chair and they'd floated up into the air? Or was it three, something else? It was the guy in the chair who was
vaguely remember that.
You know, yeah, it was it's one of those Darwin Awards where it was mentioned in those. And but we managed to get the audio recording. The producer on the show, Rob Alexander, he got it from somewhere on the internet. Right. Don't know whether he'd cleared it. Well, who knows? A long time ago.
Now, was this the show on which you had Neil Kinnock?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yes, because that's where that's the person I thought I would always. I've always really wanted to meet Neil Kinnock. I just find him absolutely fascinating.
Oh, he's brilliant. Well, I liked him. I'd first met him. I was writing the script for the BAFTA Awards, and he was doing also presented on tonight's show. Neil was doing those awards, you know, where they marginalised some of the craft categories, shall we say, there. But I remember saying to him, you know, Neil, you're the best Prime Minister we never had. And he said, oh, thank you. All the best people say that. And I was quite... No, I was quite pleased with that. But yeah, Neil was great. And he wasn't Lord Kinnock at that point, but he was a European Commissioner. I was actually staggered that he said he would do it. But he lived quite close to Cardiff and he came on the show. And I always found that politicians were... We had another politician, Kim Howells. I don't know if you know him. He was a Labour MP. Incredibly indiscreet. And we had to say to him, Kim, please don't. We can't broadcast any of this.
Oh, great. We can.
As ever, I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but I was basically, it was a device. I'd come up with a device for a chat show where I'd get two guests on. Lembit Opik came on and Chan Loy was the other guest on the show, and the rest for a brief time was history for them because they hooked up on that show. So
that's the power of quiz.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's romantic.
Absolutely. It's definitely. But there were a couple of other Radio Wales shows that I used to do there most recently a few years ago. We had The Leak. Did you do The Leak?
I did. Yeah, there was What's the Story as well.
What's the Story? I did What's the Story first.
I definitely did one of those, but I can't remember which one.
I think you did The Leak.
I'm like you. I can't remember anything either.
No, I tell you why. Because at that time, you did it during lockdown, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That's right.
I mean, I have no idea, but I wasn't working on the show by then. So I'd done about 8 series of it. And prior to that, I'd done about 5 or 6 series of What's the Story. Both topical news quizzes where we would get in the studio with Tom Price, who was the host of The Leak. Great guy, Tom. And he, he would ask questions about the events of the day in comedic form. You know, that was good fun. You know, when you're writing against a deadline, you've got this mental clock. We had mental and physical clocks ticking there as people are going, you know, they're going, audience are coming in 20 minutes. I'm thinking, we haven't got an end to this show here.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you it's very much the same, the news quiz for Radio 4. It's always Andy Zaltzman is writing the final links as the audience are actually sort of in front of him.
Andy came. He came on. He was one of the guests on The Leak, and Miles Jupp was on it. So you've had a few news quiz hosts on that show.
Well, I mean, everyone has done it, and I mean, obviously, there's you know, the talent of Wales. You've worked with all of them: Rob Gilbert, Rob Brydon. You know, Tom Price, as we say. It's
A minute, Tom Price, one of the talents of Wales. Sorry, Tom, mate. Only joking. No, he definitely is. If you're Welsh, come into the parlour. That's what we used to say. It was great fun, and it was informal. It was like this, you know, it was basically, it was a podcast before podcasts were invented.
You know, quite loose and free range.
Absolutely.
No, which is a lovely. I mean, I think it's interesting actually. As a, I wonder if podcasting has affected radio comedy in sort of good ways and bad ways. I suppose in some ways it's harder to get things commissioned because people say, "Oh, it could." You should just do it as a podcast.
Yeah, which means that they don't have to pay you money to do it, isn't it? And that is the big problem. That's my beef with that sort of thing. You know Ben Partridge?
Yes, Beef and Dairy Network, Three Bean Salad.
Absolutely. He did those. I've known Ben, actually lives down the road from me, or he was born just down the road from me, and now he's moved back to Cardiff and he lives quite close to me as well. And so we meet up and have chats. And he, I remember him saying to me, we'd had a quick coffee in the local coffee house, and he said, will you do this thing for me? He said, it's a podcast. It's called Beef and Dairy Network. And I said, okay, what's all that about then? And he said, oh, you just got to do a character. I said, I'm not a character. I'm not an actor. He said, no, you just have to play a role. He said, we'll come up with a role. So we did a little bit of role play in there, in my car. And we sat there and we recorded the a character, Barry, who was obsessed with lamb, eating lamb. This is going to sound strange. Your listeners who don't know what the Beef and Dairy Network is, but check it out, please.
Yeah, listen. You don't know what you're missing.
It has been an absolute joy talking to you. We always like to do a little quiz with our guests before we let you go.
So,
it's a short quiz, but this is based around another radio project that I think you devised with Kevin Day, To Boldly Go.
Is this going to be all sci-fi questions then?
It might be.
Okay. We did. We did that together. I got so much time for Kevin. I think he's a great guy. Yeah. He actually came on one of the editions of The Leak, and they had to stop me and Kevin talking to one another because we were enthusing about the old days, having worked together in the past. And they said, can we get on with the show now? We've actually got to do the audience are in the studio. We've got to get on with it. Okay, so sci-fi, right.
Yeah, well, now it's sort of because I was quite impressed that you had managed to get a sci-fi quiz away. Because I think sci-fi is so huge, but it is so hard to quiz about.
Radio 2 were doing what's it called when they specialised in one subject? It was space anyway. Because it was all about space, I knew a producer called Liz Anstey, who was working there at the time. And she said, oh, you got anything about space that you could put in entertainment-wise? And I said, well, I'll just knock up a little sci-fi quiz. So I did. That was the one that we did. And we did loads of... we did a couple of series of that, a fair few series of that. But I'm not a sci-fi expert. But what I should say is the radio theatre, which is where we used to record it, I have never seen it so full. They had to open up there's a top tier there. They had to open that up because all the people, they weren't in Forbidden Planet. Forbidden Planet, and those comic shops, they were all rammed into the beef for this sci-fi.
You know what? Maybe go back to the BBC and say you could revive it because
definitely.
Could be the time. I'm going to ask you, there's only five questions. It's a quick quiz, but I'm going to, each one illustrates a problem with sci-fi quizzing.
Okay.
So first question, the problem this illustrates, I think, is that it's always the same questions in sci-fi quizzes. Like the same ones seem to come up. For example, this one. Which character speaks the first line in the original 1977 Star Wars movie?
I know.
Because it's a fairly common question.
Yeah. I would guess at either R2-D2 or CP3O. No.
C3PO, you're absolutely
right. Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah, you did. You got it, Nigel. We're giving
you
that one. We're doomed or something. It's something catastrophic.
Yeah.
Right.
Darth Vader's about to board the ship.
Okay,
this is another one again. A little bit too frequently asked, this one. This is what is James Kirk's middle name?
Tiberius.
Yes, good. You've proved my point there that we all know that.
It's a chestnut. It's not just a sci-fi chestnut. I think that's definitely in the public consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah,
I actually used it on the To Boldly Go as well. So
there you go. Yeah, but that was a few years ago.
That was a fair few years ago, yeah.
You originated that as a quiz question.
I wouldn't claim it.
Now, this is another one. This is because this illustrates how difficult it is, because often sci-fi questions have a number of answers which you could debate for ages.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So how many numbered incarnations of the Doctor have there been in the BBC Doctor Who series?
Oh, no. If you look in the Radio Times this week, there's a picture of all the Doctors.
Yeah.
And annoyingly...
But some don't have numbers.
Yeah.
Well...
So I've got an answer, but I don't.
Well, let's
hope it's
just
right.
Have a guess. Have a guess. Go on.
I think the new one, Shakuti Gatwa, is 13.
Okay.
What I was going to say was 17. Or
I'd say less than that if I were you.
Or even 16. Or even maybe 15.
Yes, I'd say 15. Okay. I'd say 15 is a good one.
The thing is, Jenny, the confusion arises because in the Radio Times, there's a female doctor. I mean, obviously Jodie Whittaker, but there was.
Another one,
doctor.
But she didn't have a number.
Yeah.
She didn't have a number. But
you
got
can
all
get
of them
a, Debbie Tennant was 10, which means that, oh God, I've missed Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Matt Smith was 12.
He'll be horrified.
Capaldi, no, 11, 12, 13, Jodie Whittaker. That means that was.
Well, do you know, this is right. You've entirely proved
really
my point, and I thank you because.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they putting David Tennant back in as 14?
Yes, I think, yes.
Well, that's naughty, isn't it?
14 actors have played 15 numbered doctors. That's what I saw.
Yeah,
but we can argue for hours about this. So let's
get up to 58 if you wanted to. So I tell you what, I'll just whiz through.
My apologies to Matt Smith because you're listening, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Sorry, Matt. Just two more very quickly. Which female science fiction writer's books include The Dispossessed?
No.
It's Ursula K. Le Guin, which for ages, if any question started which female science fiction writer,
just one. She's the one.
It must
go
be her. So
right.
That is another little problem with sci-fi, is that
it has been
a very male-dominated field. And then a final question. This is just a bit of fun. How many Klingon speakers are there estimated to be worldwide? Is it, I'll give you a clue, or I'll give you a multiple choice. Is it 50 to 60, 500 to 600, or 5,000 to 6,000?
5,000 to 6,000, it's got to be, isn't it?
I would say so.
It's 50 to 60.
Oh, well, they're the ones who just use it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
absolutely fluent. But
conversationalists, definitely in the
exactly.
thousands.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Nigel, for taking part in my little sci-fi quiz. And thank you for sharing all of your wisdom, as many things as you could remember.
Exactly.
And if anything comes back to you, what we'll do is talk to you again and we can cover the gaps that we didn't get this time.
It's not all of the wisdom. I think there's more to
there's
mind
more
out there.
Mind,
it's been a good start. We'll chat to you again.
I've had a great time. So thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Lucy. I've had a really fun afternoon.
Wow, a man who has forgotten more about quizzing than most of us will ever know.
I think that's just the tip of the iceberg as well. I think we've had a few greatest hits there, but I think we could have talked to him for several more hours.
I think maybe we can get him back and find out all the indiscreet things that politicians have said to him over the years. That's what I would really like to dig into.
Yes, please. Come back, Nige.
Come back, Nige. And we hope you will come back for the next episode happening very soon. Of
Thing and Then Was It.
That went full Bob Dylan. Never go full Bob Dylan.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.